The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for spinal muscular atrophy. Here's an article by Marta Figueredo, Ph.D. Neurofilament blood levels likely to predict treatment response in SMA. In infants with spinal muscular atrophy type 1, lower blood levels of phosphorylated neurofilament heavy chain, or PNFH, a marker of nerve cell damage before starting treatment with Spinraza or nusinersen, are significantly associated with greater motor gains over time. These findings, based on data from the Phase 3 ENDEAR trial and the SHINE extension study, contrast with those previously reported for children with types 2 and 3 disease, in whom higher PNFH blood levels at treatment start in trials were linked to greater motor improvements. Still, all these results support the use of baseline PNFH levels to predict clinical responses in SMA patients, which may differ between early and later onset disease due to distinct age, disease duration, and remaining pool of motor neurons, the researchers suggested. The findings were presented at the World Muscle Society 2021 Virtual Congress, held September 20th through 24th, in the poster presentation, Phosphorylated Neurofilament Heavy Chain Level is associated with future motor function in nusinersen-treated individuals with infantile onset SMA. Major structural proteins of neurons, neurofilaments, consist of three main subunits, heavy, intermediate, and light chains. When neurons are damaged or die, these structural proteins are released into the bloodstream and cerebrospinal fluid, the liquid that surrounds the brain and spinal cord. As such, neurofilaments have been studied as potential biomarkers of nerve cell damage and treatment responses in people with neurodegenerative conditions such as SMA. A previous study showed that SMA patients in Spinraza trials had higher PNFH levels than healthy individuals, and that these levels were rapidly and sustainably reduced after treatment. Now, Biogen and researchers involved in the Spinraza trials investigated whether baseline blood PNFH levels could predict motor function gains with Spinraza in infants with SMA type 1, a severe and early onset disease type. They analyzed data from the 61 infants with available pretreatment PNFH levels who participated in the Phase 3 ENDEAR trial and subsequently transitioned to the ongoing SHINE open-label extension study. ENDEAR tested Spinraza against the sham procedure in 122 type 1 infants up to 7 months old, while SHINE, expected to end in August 2023, is assessing the therapy's long-term safety and efficacy in patients across various Spinraza trials. The infant's motor function was assessed with the Hammersmith Infant Neurological Examination Section 2, or HIND 2, and the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia Infant Test of Neuromuscular Disorders, or CHOP-INTEND, in which higher scores indicate better function. HIND 2 assesses motor milestones in infants between 2 months and 2 years of age, while CHOP-INTEND evaluates motor skills of type 1 patients from 1 to 3 years of age. Infants' median age at symptom onset was 1.4 months, and they received their first Spinraza dose at the median of 4.9 months old. They were followed for a median of 3.8 years up to 5 years. Available post-Spinraza assessment time posts range from about 9 months to about 1.5 years for HIND 2, and from about 9 months to 3.5 years for CHOP-INTEND. A total of 32 patients completed all HIND 2 assessments, while 28 completed all CHOP-INTENDs. After adjusting for infants' age and motor function at baseline, lower blood PNFH levels were found to associate with greater motor improvements in both tests over time. Notably, these associations reached statistical significance at all available HIND 2 time points, between 9 months and 1.5 years, and at 1.5 years and thereafter for CHOP-INTEND. Similar trends were observed when analyses were restricted to patients with data available at all time points. These results differ from those previously reported among Spinraza-treated children with SMA types 2 and 3, who were 2 to 12 years old when enrolled in the Phase 3 CHERISH trial, showing that higher baseline blood PNFH was associated with greater improvements in motor function, the researchers wrote. As such, the relationship between pretreatment PNFH levels and future motor function is likely complex, depending on patient characteristics, including age and disease duration, and the remaining motor neuron pool, they added. These findings inform future investigations evaluating neurofilaments as a predictive biomarker of treatment response in SMA, the researchers concluded. Biogen also announced that it is working to identify potential biomarkers in SMA and that changes in neurofilament levels has been added as an exploratory goal to ongoing SMA studies.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forum's moderator, Deanne Runge.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today content creator. Years ago, for a brief moment, it was noted in my chart I had SMA type 3. The doctor claimed I'd be quote-unquote dead by now if I had type 2. Ever since, the whole typing system seems faulty to me. On one hand, if I did have SMA type 3, maybe I'd have a better prognosis. On the other hand, it would make getting the things I need more difficult. For some reason, type 2 seems to be the sweet spot when it comes to insurance. Luckily for me, that type 3 notation was quickly buried by my neurologist and more knowledgeable doctors. I feel like need should take precedence over type, though. Unfortunately, insurance doesn't always see it that way. Often individuals with type 3 struggle to get coverage for items that would benefit them. If you're type 1, sometimes your SMA is considered too advanced to benefit from certain things, which is completely bogus. It's easy for parents to focus on type as well, when their attention should be on supporting their child regardless of ability. I want to stress not to get hung up on SMA typing. As treatments have emerged, the SMA type system is evolving. I don't think anyone can say if someone is a certain type, they can or can't do XYZ definitively. There's almost always an anomaly. So basing type on ability isn't the best gauge. Basing it on SMN2 copies isn't reliable either, because the quality of those copies makes a difference. I like to think of SMA as a spectrum. If that's the case, type 2 is smack dab in the middle where function is concerned. A strong type 2 would have more abilities and weak type 2 would have less function. And maybe your type would change throughout the years. But that's just a thought on my part. And of course, with treatments, it's a whole different ballgame. Frankly, I'd like to see the typing system thrown out the window. Have you run into issues with being a certain SMA type? How would you like to see the classifications evolve? I'd love to hear about it at smanewstoday.com/forums. But that's all I have for you today. We'll talk again soon. Bye for now.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.